podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is proudly sponsored by The Terrace, the home of retro and fan culture sports merchandise. Check out their range of Forest merch by visiting theterracestore.com or visit them on social media.
The 1865 Match Report.
Welcome to the 1865 Match Report, as Forest finally returned to action at Deepdale, where it finished Preston 0, Forest 0. And after the disappointment of the postponed game at Bournemouth on the weekend, Forest back on the road again, this time up north to Preston for a game which, on the night, wasn't one of Forest's best performances, but they did eventually do enough to come away with a point. Preston were probably the better side, and they will look at it as a game that they perhaps should have won. But the key thing for Forest was that they took a point on the road and a clean sheet as well, which we'll go into more detail on. The big moment for Forest, right at the end, Jed Spence flashing a ball across goal after working into space down the right-hand side. Nobody in the box, six-yard box, to get on the end of it, and the chance to win the game was gone. Forest did have another opportunity in the first half with James Garner shooting straight at the keeper after nice work between him and Keenan Davis down the left-hand side. But it was Preston who had the big chances being missed by Cameron Archer. First of all, forcing a good save from Ethan Horvath early in the second half. And then just a minute later, played through one-on-one. It looked simple to score, but Archer placed the ball wide, and that one proved to be a big let-off for Forest. In the end then, 0-0 it finished, and a point for either team. And I am joined by Tom Newton to look back on the game. Tom, we'll start with the team news then. So Steve Cooper made two changes, of course, from the Stoke City game and not the Bournemouth game, which didn't go ahead. Forest returning to action tonight for the first time in 10 days. So Ethan Horvath back in the team due to Bryce Samba's three-game suspension. So Horvath in goal and Ryan Yates returning to the starting 11 in place of Philip Zinkernagel, who dropped to the bench. So in the end, Forest lining up with a 3-4-1-1 formation with Garner playing in that number 10 role again behind Keenan Davis. Did you feel that this was a good setup to begin with? And how did you see the game play out with Forest in that formation?
I wasn't too surprised with the formation. I know even Horvath coming in was in force, and Ryan Yates was always going to play in a game like this against Preston, because obviously you need a bit of that battling mentality in the midfield. So yeah, I wasn't too surprised with the team lineup what Steve Cooper picked tonight. But yeah, it was just one of those games where, apart from the first 10-15 minutes where Forest were the better side, yeah, just one of those games where you just swiftly move on from, because nothing really happened for Forest tonight.
Forest actually started the game the brighter side. Certainly for the first 10 minutes or so, they were on top. The key moment in that first half from the Forest point of view was a penalty shout where Keenan Davis appeared to be brought down in the box by Sepp Vandenberg, but the referee didn't give it, to the bemusement of Davis. And did you see that one as a penalty, Tom? Should Forest have had a spot kick?
Yeah, because he's got no reason to go down in the box once he's gone past his man. And it's not the first time this season. We've had a lot of instances where I think there was a game down at QPR where Johnson had a stonewall penalty, and there's been a few others in the game and in the season. And you think that over the season they will equal themselves out, and you haven't really, because we're still getting like really iffy refereeing decisions. We had one tonight with the penalty, a couple of decisions against Stoke. I'm not saying the Bruce Sambers sending off was an iffy one, because that was a stonewall red card. But yeah, just referees in the EFL, I think they don't have the levels of scrutiny like you do in the Premier League, and I think a lot gets missed by referees in this league. And tonight, I thought it was a penalty on Davis, and if the referee doesn't think it's a penalty, why isn't he booking him for diving and then booking the players who are basically like the likes of Jack Colback and I think one or two others who were in his face asking why that's not a penalty? So, yeah, I thought it was a strange decision, and but it's one of those where you're not surprised with the levels of officiating in the EFL this season.
And it was Steve Cooper who made the valid point in his post-match interview of why would Keenan Davis go down in that situation when he's fought his way into the penalty area and he's ahead of his man. And I think it is a valid point. And looking back at the replay, it does appear that Davis's leg is taken and that's why he falls. Certainly Cooper felt that it should have been a penalty. He also did mention that, in his opinion, Forrest have had too many of those decisions go against them this season. Now, whether that was a bit of a dig at the standard of officiating in the Stoke game, but there are also decisions earlier in the season, such as Brennan Johnson against Sheffield United being hauled down in front of the Trent end and nothing given. There's been a few now where you can legitimately say that Forrest perhaps should have had a decision go in their favour. But I think it's well publicised now, the level of officiating. We've seen it on a regular basis. The officiating can be so inconsistent. And I would say that decision knocked Forrest off their stride. Up until that point, they were on top and then they didn't get the penalty. Obviously, the players were frustrated, but it seemed to be at that point that Preston came back into the game. Would you agree with that, Tom?
Yeah, I would. And by each minute, what was going passing and Forrest passing weren't great. And it's like Forrest, like just bit by bit, losing belief. And that showed tonight. Some of the passing was off. Some of the decisions players were making was off. And ultimately, that made a match where, from Forrest's perspective, it wasn't great viewing, and it's just one of those where the positive is keepers made had a clean sheet. We haven't lost the game, and we'll just move on from it swiftly and get ready for Saturday's game against Bristol. But yeah, nobody had a good game tonight, and it was with those two chances from Cameron Archer, it could have been a completely different result. And thankfully, those two chances haven't gone in. Forrest have somehow got out of Deepdale with a point, and on if you look at over the 90 minutes, Forrest can be quite fortunate to come away with a point, really.
You mentioned the goalkeeper there, Ethan Horvath. He was recalled to the team with Bryce Samba's 3-game suspension. His first match since the Middlesbrough game under Chris Hughton, when he made the mistake playing the ball to Anel Hernandez to gift Middlesbrough a goal. But he was back in the team tonight and I thought was pretty solid during the game and made a good save from Cameron Archer to keep the score at 0-0. And I think he'll be happy with his performance and how the game panned out for him.
Yeah, I think he grew into the game. I think his distribution isn't as good as Brees's, and that might be something what he needs to work at. But for what you want him to do from a goalkeeping point of view, is pretty decent. I mean, he made that save from Archer. He's come for a couple of crosses. He's punched a few away. His handling was pretty decent, to be honest. He didn't flap at things. They had a couple of shots, and instead of palming them away, well, I know he palmed one away, which was the Archer chance, but the other chances, what they had from long distance, he didn't flap at them, and he's kept them in his grasp. And yeah, it's a steady performance from him tonight. But the thing is with him, he's not a rookie. He's not like a kid who's just come into this level. He's played international football, and he's played at a decent level in Belgium for, I think it's Club Bruges. So, yeah, he's not a novice by any stretch. But yeah, I think he'd be happy to get this game out of the way with clean sheet and, yeah, move on to the game against Bristol at the weekend.
And it was good for him to make that save in front of the Forest fans just to build that bit of confidence back in his performances. But as you say, with his experience, he doesn't strike me as a character who would be fazed by a mistake that happened previously, and particularly when it was under a different manager and obviously several games ago, several months ago even.
And another thing is that game, everything was flat. We all knew the game was up for Houghton. We went into that Middlesbrough game, was playing crap football. Results were crap. Manager wasn't performing. So it was kind of like, it was just one of those games where nothing went right for Forest. And it's just a matter of that Chris Hughton got the sack a couple of days later and we haven't looked back since.
We'll come on to Preston's performance. I thought, to their credit, that they set up well against Forest. They seemed to identify where they could stifle us and where they could prevent Forest playing the football that they want to play. Pressing higher up the pitch against us, closing down the space and making it difficult for Forest to play out. And I think it was a combination of things. Preston played a very good game plan, executed it well, but Forest on the night were sluggish and struggled for inspiration in a way of trying to combat the way that Preston set up. And looking at the two teams, you would have thought it was Preston that had a 10-day rest rather than Forest, the way that it played out.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it in with Premier League teams, when teams have had a 10-day rest or something, it does knock their momentum. And I don't know if that was the case for Forest tonight, but apart from that first 10 minutes, Forest never got going after that. And we've already mentioned that the passing was sluggish tonight. And even though Preston nullified our right-hand side with Spence and Johnson, the passing weren't good enough to create an opening in another area of the pitch, in the middle of the pitch where Yates, Colback or Garner was, or on the other side where Max Lowe was. So, it was just one of those games tonight, wasn't it, where the passing was not great. We couldn't create any openings and they nullified certain areas of the pitch and stopped us from basically playing, really.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
And on the night, they had created a good amount of chances. We've already spoken about the efforts that Cameron Archer missed, or in Horvath's case, the save that he made from Archer's shot. But there were a few other instances where Preston got into dangerous positions without being able to get a shot away on goal or really test the goalkeeper. There was one in the second half where neat play down the right-hand side, ball's played across right into a dangerous area in front of goal, and Joe Worrell's there to make a big clearance. And then not long after that, Archer comes in with a shot that takes a deflection and for a second looks like it's looping into the net over Horvath's head, but thankfully just drops the right side of the post from Forrest's point of view, and the score stays at 0-0. But at that point, it did feel as if there was only one team that was going to win the game, because Forest were real backs to the wall at this point.
Yeah, I thought that the Forest back line was being pushed back quite deep, and then the midfield was pushing back quite deep. And I don't know whether it was the when Samba's in, he does play quite high, and that probably gives Forest the opportunity to then push the back line further up the field. So whether Horvath hasn't got that confidence yet, and that's why they retreated a bit deeper, then the midfield retreated deeper. But I still thought that Preston was picking up the ball in certain areas of the final third, which they were getting in behind, and I thought whether Forest weren't picking up runners or whatever, but I thought it might be a case that they might get another chance as the game went on, and thankfully they didn't, and we got away with a 0-0 on the point.
And Forest tonight, whenever they won the ball, they were very quickly giving it away again. It was either bouncing off somebody's thigh, somebody's ankle, and not falling into our control, or simply giving a pass away, or Preston were just that little bit sharper, that little bit quicker to the ball and to 50-50 challenges. And as a result, Forest didn't really get much time on the ball or real up until the final few minutes where they could take control of it and look to build attacks themselves. Is that a concern for you with the games to come in the next week, or would you just put that down to a bit of a bad night at the office kind of game?
I'll put it down to like a bad night, basically, for everybody. Well, nothing clicked on the night and passing wasn't great. But if the same happens on Saturday against Bristol, as the table states, that they seem to be a bit more of a lesser side than Preston, and the same thing happens, and yeah, I would be a bit concerned. But no, I think with the Forest not playing for the last 10 days, and I think that's had an effect on tonight, because like says, Forest just didn't get going tonight. It was just one of those where there was too many below average performances, and like I said, we're fortunate to come away with a 0-0. So we'll move on to Saturday, but like I says, if it say performance on Saturday where we probably lack that bit of intensity and ideas, and I think people might get a bit worried in the remaining 13 or so games to the end of the season.
Keenan Davis up front on his own, I thought, put in another good shift, showed some moments of quality, good movement and good battling against that Preston defence. We've spoken about the penalty, but again, I think he showed his range of skills, what he offers in that lone striker position. He was replaced on 80 minutes for Sam Surridge, and he again came on and looked lively, perhaps not as lively as in some previous matches, but still came on eager to make an impact and get involved in the game. The big chance, though, came just as the clock was ticking round to 90 minutes. And around this period of the game, Forest actually did get on top, and it was almost a shame that there were only a couple of minutes left, because suddenly Forest looked like the team that might go on and win the game, playing higher up the pitch, moving the ball around a lot better. And it was Jed Spence down the right-hand side. He'd had a quiet game up until this point, solid but not stand out how we've come to expect from him. But he gets away from a defender, charges down the right-hand side to the byline, puts in a superb ball right into the six-yard box, where it's almost impossible to defend, but no Forest player is gambling to get on the end of that. And the ball rolls away and the chance goes begging. Now, looking back at the opportunity, does that show how much we miss Lewis Graben and his poaching instincts?
On that evidence of tonight, then, and that chance alone, then, Lewis Graben would have tapped that away, and we're coming away. Well, it will probably look like we stole 3 points from Preston tonight. But, that's what Graben's been good at, and that's what he's done all through his career. But having said that, I don't think because of how well Davis has come since he's coming on loan from Villa, since that Cardiff game, I don't think we've actually missed Lewis Graben, to be honest. And the only time Lewis Graben's name has been brought up was tonight, when that chance goes begging. It is unfortunate that Graben's injured at the moment, and 9 times out of 10 he would have put that away. But like I says, there's still capable players in there. I mean, Worrell, I think, was in there. Sam Surridge was in there. Then he must be like desperate for a goal, because obviously he's had 3 or 4 games, probably more, and he hasn't got on the score sheet yet. So just wanted someone just to chuck anything at the ball, and the ball passed them by, and that was that for Forest tonight.
Yeah, you saw Johnson calling for the ball, but he was stood a bit further back in the box. Surridge was coming in, but he wasn't advanced enough to get on the end of the chance. And unfortunately, that was the opportunity to win the game that was ultimately missed. But if we come on to some of the positives from tonight, I would argue that was a very decent point in the circumstances, given how Forest never really got going, given that Preston did make it a very tough game, a game where we had to defend and a game where we had to stay in it at times. To come away with a point from that, away from home, of course, I don't think is all that bad on reflection. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Preston's not the easiest place to get to at the best of times, and how tonight has turned out, yeah, is a decent point. And it's just one of those games where you just like forget about it pretty quickly and move on to Saturday's game at home. So yeah, if you can't, it's that cliche, isn't it? If you can't win the game, don't lose it. And Forest did that tonight. And some might say we was fortunate, this, that and the other, but Forest, like I says, dug in and got a 0-0 out of it at the end of the day. So yeah, it is a positive. If you look back on the game, then you would say that Preston would deserve to win it with those chances what they had, but it wasn't to be. And return on Saturday and hopefully get 3 points.
And looking at the table, so a couple of results tonight combined with Forest's, Middlesbrough winning means that they occupy the final playoff spot with 52 points. Forest are behind them, having played the same amount of games, 32. Forest are 4 points behind that final playoff spot. So, yes, you can argue that they've lost ground on the playoff spots, and obviously the events of Friday at Bournemouth haven't helped either, with that game not being played. But there's still plenty to feel positive about with 14 games left to go. Forest are well in there, and you would hope a game against Bristol City, who have been very inconsistent this season, offers Forest the perfect opportunity to pick up 3 points in front of their own fans, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you never know. The teams who are actually in the playoffs now might go on a bit of a run where they don't win any games for like 4 or 5 games. And if you look at how West Brom were, they were like pre-season favourites. I know they've changed manager, etc. And I don't think they've been very happy at the Hawthorns this season watching the football there. But yeah, they've gone down, I think they're 11th now. So yeah, if you get a team, hopefully before you start, with these games coming up, go on a bit of a run, and if somebody don't win their games, then obviously Forest can like get into the playoff places. So there's still a lot to play for, but Forest just need to carry on what they're doing in terms of like playing to the strengths, and I think they will win more games than they lose this season if they carry on with that mentality.
Exactly, and hopefully Forest can get back to winning ways when Bristol City visit the City Ground on Saturday. And we will be back with you, listener, with our match reports from the Bristol City game. So do keep an eye out for that. Thank you for listening. And until next time, goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.